Morning. Today's daf is daf ayin beis in Avodah Zarah. We're in ayin aleph amud beis, and we're starting right in the middle of the amud. Okay, middle of one of the more interesting sugyas that take place in the fifth parak, and that's Mashicha by a guy. Does Mashicha work by a guy? So we know, again, let's go back to what we said yesterday. We know that by a Jew, the mechanism of kinyan, the way that you acquire, is through Mashicha, taking an object and pulling it towards you. Money is nice, money certainly pays for objects, but that's not a method of acquisition. The method of acquisition comes through Mashicha. Money works by property. You want to buy property, so then you use money. Money actually then becomes the method of acquisition. But when we're talking about movable items, metatlin, so you have to do Mashicha, you have to actually pull the item to you, and that's the method of acquisition. Does the same thing hold true by a goy? When a guy does Mashicha, is that an act of kinyan? Question really is guy to guy and guy to Jew. Meaning, over here we're not, this is not a limitation of how he acquires from you. This is just a general question of how a guy makes a kinyan altogether. So you remember yesterday, a Amemar says it works. Right? A Amemar back in Ayin Aleph, Amud Aleph, starts off, the Gemara started off with his statement. It says that Mashicha bo v'kochav m'kona, it does work. It is a kinyan if a guy does Mashicha. Rav Ashi disagrees. Rav Ashi says the Mashicha does not work by a guy. The reason why this discussion comes up in Avodah Zarah does not sound like an Avodah Zarah's discussion. It sounds like a Bava Metzia discussion in terms of how to make a kinyan. Right? What's it doing over here? Maybe you could fit it in the first parak of Kedushin, where there also it discusses kinyanim. What is it doing over here? Well, it's over here because we get onto the discussion of how do you sell wine to a non-Jew. What you want to achieve is you want the sale to be completed before he actually touches the wine. Because if he touches the wine, he renders the wine Yayin Esach, and then you're selling Yayin Esach, you're not allowed to benefit from Yayin Esach. It's Asur Bahana. And the proceeds of the sale will therefore be Asur. So the trick in selling wine to a non-Jew would be that you want the sale completed prior to him actually touching the wine. So in our Mishnah, the Mishnah actually doesn't discuss Mashicha. The Mishnah, if you remember back in Ayin Aleph and Aleph, which is really the genesis of this whole discussion, the Mishnah says, Amochi yenolav dikochavim pasak ashla madad dam of mutarim, madad ashla pasak dam of asurim. It sounds like from the Mishnah that the most critical component to the sale is going to be the agreement to price. If we agree to the price, and then I pour it, and then we measure it, so then the sale is complete. If we don't agree upon the price, so then the sale is not going to be, the sale won't be finalized. And that would be a problem because it'll touch the wine prior to the sale being finalized. Okay? That was the Mishnah. Mishnah didn't discuss Mashicha. So later this morning, we'll come back to the Mishnah, and we'll analyze the Mishnah. Okay? So here we are. Big machlokas amongst the later Amoraim, Amemar. Thank you. A Amemar and Rav Ashi. A Amemar says a Mashicha works by a non-Jew. Rav Ashi says Mashicha does not work by a non-Jew. And let's continue. We are on Amud Beis. We're on Ayin Aleph Amud Beis. And we're starting at the words Mitzvah. It's right in the middle of the Amud. I know I'm going to find it. It's just a question of when. Right, here we go. It's less than halfway down the page. Avalo Yayin B'Yayin. Mitzvah. The Gemara now challenges based on the following. It's a brisa. We've seen this brisa before in the Masechta. Good review. Halokechar ta'ot mina ov dekochav. You buy little silver pieces from a non-Jew. Now you're just buying scrap metal. And then lo and behold, you look at the scrap metal and you realize, oh, wait a second, that's a little idol. That's not good. So imad shalom nasan maus mashach yachzer. Imashanasan maus mashach. So the Braisa says it depends. Did you pay for it or did you not pay for it? So if you paid for it, sorry, let's start off, let me go in the correct order of the Braisa. If you did the Mashicha before having paid for it, so you give it back to him. But if you already paid for it and you did a Mashicha, so yolech liyam ha-melech. So then you have to take the little idol and you have to throw it to the Yam ha-melech. Okay, from the Braisa, what does it seem like? Seems pretty clear from the Braisa that everything's contingent not on you doing Mashicha, but on whether or not you paid for it or not. So the Gemara articulates the question. You really think the Mashicha is an act of kinyan? So then, I don't understand. So why do you get to return back? We're going back to the first case of the Braisa. First case of the Braisa is, if you did Meshicha, but you didn't pay for it, so then you give it back to him. So the Gemara says, wait a second, you did Meshicha, a Meimar, you acquired it. So why? How do you have the right to give it back to him? You can't give it back to him, it's yours. And what you consequently have to do is you have to throw it in the garbage. You have to throw it to Yam HaMelech. Amar Abai, Mishum Demech Zeki Mekach Taos. So the Gemara gives an answer, well, you know it's Mekach Taos, meaning, look, it is true. You only wanted to buy scrap. You didn't want to buy an idol. And then it happens to be that by accident, one of the scraps turns into an idol or become, you know, you didn't know this, but it was an idol. It's Mekach Taos. Mekach Taos means it was a sale, but under false understandings. You weren't planning on buying an idol. Amar Rava, Reisha Mekach Taos, Seifla Lav Mekach Taos. The Rava says, okay, that's a fair answer, but let's be consistent. In both the Reisha and in the Seifa, it's a Mekach Taos. So what Rava says, it doesn't make a difference whether you paid for it, you didn't pay for it. A Mekach Taos is a Mekach Taos. If I thought I was buying scrap, and by accident you threw idols into the mix, it doesn't matter whether I paid for it, doesn't pay for it. It is a Mekach Taos. Elam Rava Reisha V'Seifa Mekach Taos. Okay, so Rava says, look, well, I'll work with the same answer, but let me sharpen the answer a little bit better. Really, in both cases, whether I paid for it, whether I didn't pay for it, it is a Mekach Taos, which means that in principle, I should be able to return it. I didn't buy an idol. I wasn't interested in buying an idol. I just wanted to buy a scrap metal. V'reisha de lo yavzuze lo mischaze ka'avodes kochavim b'yad Yisrael. Sefer de yavzuze mischaze ka'avodes kochavim b'yad Yisrael. And here in Rav Sharpen's answer, it goes like this. Look, in both cases, it's a Mekach Taos. You weren't planning on buying it. In the second case, however, the price that you paid for it. So you know what? It looks like it's yours. It's not yours. You weren't planning on buying it. It's right. It's really a Mekach Taos, but it looks like it's yours. So this is what we'll call, I mean, not to use the term loosely, but it's Marasayim. It looks like you purchased Avodah Zarah. On account of that, you have to destroy, you have to throw it out. And you do not have the option of returning it. Even though fundamentally it's not yours, it really is a Mekach Taos. But Rebbe says, because you paid for it, so therefore you have to discard it, you have to throw it to Yam HaMelech, because it looks like Avodah Zarah is in your hands.
Why can't they burn it like they did with
Ariel? Burning also is fine. Burning and burying it would be fine as well. Throwing it to Yam HaMelech is just the Gemara's code word of you need to destroy it.
Somebody sees him, will say, oh,
right. Right. I don't know. I mean, I'm using the words Marasayim. I don't know if Marasayim is the right terminology to use over here. It's the terminology that I'm comfortable with that I know, but it's not. We all know that you didn't weren't interested in buying the Avodah Zarah. I don't know. Maybe I'm going to throw around other terms, but I'm just throwing them around. Maybe it's kanas because you should have been more careful about what was in the scrap metal. I don't know. I'm not sure. Okay, so again, we're back to our basic question. How does a non-Jew acquire? Does he acquire through Meshicha? Okay, so now we get to go back to our Mishnah. And the reason why this whole discussion comes up over here in Avodah Zarah is because it seems to be connected to our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says that when you sell wine to a non-Jew, so the Mishnah says if the price is worked out and he paid for it, so then that's good, right? And if the price is not worked out and you pour it for him and you measure for him, that's not good. So it seems to be that from our Mishnah, it's all based on price and money. And Meshicha does not seem to be at all the issue. So this is exactly the Gemara's point. Yeah, my Meshicha above the Kochavim Eino Kona, Amai Dama Mutar Machab Amai Skinan, the Aktem Le Dinan. So the Gemara says, well, in our Mishnah, we're discussing a case where Aktem Le Dinan, where you paid for it first. Ihachi. Gemara says you paid for it first. Ema Seifa. Well, let's go to the next part of the Mishnah. Mada Dachala Pasak Damav Asurim. If you measured it But you didn't agree to a price that's going to be Oster. But wait a second. Once you give an Ukimta in a Mishnah, once you set up a Mishnah a certain way, you have to be consistent both in the Reisha and in the Seifa. And if we're saying in the Reisha that you paid for it first, or the Seifa, same thing. We paid for it first. So the Gemara says, well, if you paid for it first, and Mishicha is not the method of Kinyan, so then you paid for it, so that means it's yours. So okay, so a Mamer, according to you, who says that Mashiach is Kohenah, my Reisha Damav Mutarim, V'Seifa Damav Asurim. So then how do you understand the difference between the Reisha and the Seifa? Ela Ma'islach L'Memer. So the Gemara says, oh, so you're going to have to say the following. And the Gemara gives us now a very, very simple and truthful foundation in terms of acquisition. Pasuk Samcha Daita. Lo Pasuk. Lo samcha daita. Lididi nami afagav dekadim leidiner. Pasuk samcha daita. Lo pasuk lo samcha daita. Look, Mashiach is beautiful. Mashiach works. And Amemar is going to argue Mashiach works even if it's a non-Jew. The difference in our Mishnah is whether you agree on price or whether you don't agree on price. And that makes all the difference in the world. Because look, I can pull anything I want in my direction. If we don't have an agreement of mind before I pull the item, I didn't acquire the item. That doesn't work. So in the first case of the Mishnah, where you didn't agree to a price, we can pull and tug and do all different types of kinyanim. I can even give money, right? But if we don't agree to a price, the sale is not finalized because we clearly don't have an agreement of mind. This is what's called, the Gemara called Samcha Daitai. Samcha Daitai means that there's a certain a level of confidence / understanding / agreement of mind. So good. So in the Mishnah, you can maintain both sides of the issue. How does a guy make a kinyan? He does it through money. He does it through Mashiach. Either way, if we don't have an agreement of the price, if I don't know how much I'm buying it for, so nothing works. Nothing's going to be a kinyan. Money won't be a kinyan. Mashiach won't be a kinyan. We don't know how much I'm buying it for. Once we come to an agreement of price, so Pasuk, once you know now I'm buying wine at this much per liter, at this much per bottle, so now good. So now we can talk about how I'm going to be konet with a Mashiach, with money. But the fundamental issue in the Mishnah is if you don't agree on price, then there's no kinyan, period. Okay. Amalei Ravina L'Rav Ashi Tashma. Again now, back to the debate. How do you make a kinyan? How does a guy make a kinyan? Does he do so through Mashiach, or does he need to pay for the item? Tashma Damar Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba Amar Rav Yochanan. Ben Noach Nerag Apachos Mishava Pruta. V'lo Nitan Lihi Shavan. Right, we just talked about this on Shabbos. Dr. Belazon spoke beautifully Shabbos morning, and he talked about the shiurim by a guy, or lack thereof. A guy steals. It's one of the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach. A guy is not allowed to steal. A guy steals. So, it's a death penalty, right? For every one of the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach. If he violates any one of the seven Noachide laws, so it is a death penalty. That's not unilaterally correct. That's not necessarily true by dinim, by the mitzvah of setting up a judicial system. That is subject to a debate whether or not that is a capital crime. But doesn't matter. For the other six, it is absolutely a capital crime. How much does the guy need to steal in order to be chayav misa? Any amount. It does not matter. As opposed to a Jew, where a Jew, there's something called the shava pruta. And it has to be a minimum amount of a pruta, whatever their lowest currency coin was. For a non-Jew, there is no shear. Consequently, if a guy steals any amount from another guy, he's chayav misa. So far, so good. The Gemara develops now its case. Oh, by the way, there's no issue in returning the item that was stolen. We have something called the Heshivas Agzela. When we steal, we have a mitzvah now, right, to give it back. Right, this is a lav hanitak la'aseh. By a guy, there's no issue of hashava returning it. Okay? So now you, Ravashi, you say the Mashiach doesn't work. Right? That's your position. You disagree with a Meimar. Am I Narag? So why is the guy put to death? Meaning, the question is so simple, it's so profound. How did he steal? Right? How does anyone steal? They acquire it by picking it up and bringing it to them. Right? You, Rav Ashi, say that Mashiach does not work by a guy. So you know what? He picked it up, he pulled it to him, he didn't acquire it. So, huh? He didn't steal it. It's still yours.
He ate it.
Right? He ate it.
Yeah.
Good, but it's still yours.
I can be yours. It's gone. I mean,
okay.
No, not like
right.
Mashiach, I can
right.
Stand,
right. I hear that.
He did harm when he picked it up.
Right. So, but how does he steal? So the Gemara says, "Mishum Detzar LeYisrael." Gemara gives a wild answer. Okay, we're not going to hold on to this answer for long. But the Gemara says, you know what he did? He irritated the Jew. Okay, fine. So you know what? You're right. It's not legally his. In the world of legalities, it's still yours. But now you're looking at, oh no, I got to go get it. And so, and however, by whatever means you're going to go get it, you're going to go get it. But it's annoying. It's irritating. So, I mean, what the Gemara is saying right now, I mean, it's a wild answer. The Gemara is saying right now is that there's a death penalty for irritation of a Jew. Okay. So, umay lo nita li shavan denet betarsi shavan. And now, what do we, and explain the second part of the statement, right? There's no hashava, there's no issue of returning it. What do you mean there's no issue of returning it? It's not his. So the Gemara says, in a Bitaris Yishavan. Yeah, the laws of Hashava don't apply to him because it's not his. That's how we're going to have to understand the second part of the statement. Ihachi emasefa, the Gemara says, okay, let's move along. Let's move along in the Braisa now. You're telling me that a non-Jew steals from a Jew. It's not really stealing because he didn't really acquire it. He only gets a death penalty because he irritated the Jew. That's the pshat that we're offering right now. Move along in the Braisa. What if it's a theft of a non-Jew to another non-Jew? Right? In the first case, you want to tell me there's this capital crime of called irritating a Jew. Okay, fine. That's a capital crime. Okay, now we're going to move on to the second part of the Braisa. Second part of the Braisa, he didn't irritate another Jew. So the Gemara says, okay, good, we're done. Discussion now is officially over. Right? There's something called Mashiach, and it works by a guy. Okay? Good. And so on the issue, on the front of, does Mashiach work by non-Jews? So, to quickly sum up the whole sugya, to machlokis between the Amoraim, Amemar versus Rav Ashi, Amemar has been maintaining from the very beginning of the sugya, that it does work, Mashiach does work by a guy. Rav Ashi disagreed. We brought proofs back and forth from various brises and even our very own Mishnah, but the conclusion of the Gemara is very clear. Mashiach does in fact work by a guy. Okay. The Gemara now is going to take us on a tangent. From here until the Mishnah, we're going to go on a very interesting tangent. But we are off the topic of Avodah Zarah, taking a break from Yayin Nesach, and going into basic discussions of Kinyanim. It's a small little small little tangent that we're taking right now, because we have been on the issue of Kinyanim, and it certainly is very interesting. It is halacha lamaisa. This stuff happens all the time. One man says to another friend, look, Ema's banina, look, I'm not interested in selling right now. But I'm telling you, you and I are close, we're tight, we're the best of friends. When I sell, I'm designating you to be the buyer. I'm going to sell it to you. I'm sorry, Ema's bin la ha'ara, l'cha mis banina la. Okay? And you know how the story ends. Now before I tell you how the story ends, The Rashi over here exacerbates the whole problem, right? Take a look at Rashi before we go on further in the Gemara. Lecham is banina lach. Rashi's three short words, v'kanu minei b'kinyan. And not only that, but they shake hands. Now, I say shake hands, by the way. It doesn't have to be a shaking of the hands. We're talking now about a Kinyan Seder. Kinyan Seder is the picking up of the handkerchief. Picking up of a handkerchief is a symbolic act. It just simply means you and I agree, and we're going to do something that demonstrates that you and I agree. So I could pick up your handkerchief, or we could shake hands. Right? Either way is going to be a valid way of demonstrating, right? Good, good.
They didn't agree to a price here. Yet,
right? Wait, good, good call. Azo zavna le'ina shachrina. Now, they were the best of friends. Not anymore. He goes ahead and he sells it to somebody else. Amar Rav Yosef Kanakama. So Rav Yosef gives a ruling, and Rav Yosef says, no, first one gets it because they agreed that he would sell it to him. And not only that, but now you understand why Rashi said what he said. They shook hands. They made a king and suitor. So and it goes to the first guy. Amalei Abai Vahalo Pasak. So Abai says, but wait a second. They didn't agree to a price. And if they don't agree to a price, it's nothing. It's not a sale if we don't agree to a price. And how do I know that? Back to our Mishnah. Did not amokhi and love the kocham pasak ashlamada, dama mutar mada ashlam pasak, dama vasurin. So, it's very clear from our Mishnah, sales are not sales until you agree to a price. So you can say all you want, I'll sell it to you. He can say, good, I'd like to buy it from you. You can even shake hands and do another number of other kinyanim as well. If you don't agree to a price, it's simply not a sale. End of discussion. The Gemara then continues, my Havi'ala. So what's our conclusion? And the Gemara then says, my Havi'ala. What do you mean, what's our conclusion? Our conclusion is, Kiddika Aminan. We said what our conclusion is, you have to agree to a price. You misunderstood me. When I say, what's the conclusion, I mean like this. You can make an argument that maybe our Mishnah is not talking about Kinyanim in general. It's talking about specifically Yai Nesach. Maybe. Tashma Dam Ravidi Baravit. Uvda Hava Be Rav Chista Be Rav Huna. Upashte Mehad Dinan. So the Gemara says, okay, how about this? How about not a Mishnah in Avodah Zarah? Talking about Yai Nesach. How about a Mishnah in Baba Basra? Oh, we're there, we're talking about general Kinyanim. Mishnah says, Masha Chamar Vapola Vechnesam Lesach Beso. Bein pasak achla madad, bein madad achla pasak, lo kana ushneim yecholem lachzor behem. If you do a meshicha on what? On the donkey driver. On the workers. If you do a meshicha on people, it doesn't work. Meshicha on people don't work. Meshicha works on movable items. Meshicha does not work on people. Okay, good.
Eved
Meshicha doesn't work by an Eved. Eved is like karka, right? An Eved Kanani is chattel, and he's treated like property. Money by an Eved. Meshicha doesn't work. Bein pasak ashal amadad, bein madad ashal pasak, ashal pasak lokana. Ushayim yichol nachz abahem, and therefore there could be a retraction on both parties, both buyer and seller. Pirkan, v'hichnisan lesoch beiso. If he unloads... So now the objects that are being sold are off the people and on the floor, and he brings them into his house. Pasuk Hashlo Madad Ein Shnei Mechol Nachzor Behem. Madad Hashlo Pasuk Shnei Mechol Nachzor Behem. Good. We have a Mishnah Baba Basra. It could not say it any clearer. In order for a sale to be registered as a sale, there has to be an agreement of price. If there's an agreement on price, then a Meshicha, sale is finalized. If there's a Meshicha but no agreement on price, sale is garnished, which means nothing. Ha'u gavra, da'amalei l'chavrei. Good, we're now continuing in our tangent. So in case number one, right? So far we've dealt with a case in which I make a commitment to my good friend. I'm going to sell it to him. We shake hands. So Rav Yosef says it really is a commitment, but if we didn't agree to a price, so then it's nothing. Case number two. A guy goes over to his friend, we are second wide light down on the page. Okay, good. Now we got something going on over here. He makes a commitment to his very good friend, and he says, I'm going to sell you the land, and I'm going to sell to you for 100 zuz. Good. We got all the ingredients of a sale. agreement to price, a commitment. You want to throw a king in there, that's also good? Good. Azal Zavna, but remember though, this is important. It's not a sale, it's a commitment to sell. Meaning, I'm telling you that you and I are best of friends. I'm committing that. I'm not selling it right now, but if and when I do sell, it's to you. Okay, that's important in this discussion. Okay, but you know what happens? It's called life. Somebody comes over to him and says, oh, you know what? I'm going to buy this land from you, and I'll buy it for 120. Okay, good. Right? 20% more. That's exciting. So, I'm Rav Kahana, Kana Kama. So Rav Kahana says the first person acquires it because he committed to sell to the first person. Maskevla Rav Yaakov minahar pakod. Hai zuze amsu. No, you don't say that. Because, look, if the second guy came along and said, I want to buy it for you for 100, and he sells it to the second guy for 100, I understand. That's not a sale. He already committed himself to selling it to the first guy, and he didn't gain anything by selling it to the second guy, other than just a retraction of his commitment to the first guy, but you can't do that. However, Rav Yaakov Minar Pekot says, if the second guy is offering more money, that's called more money. That's not insignificant, that is significant. Right? The way the Gemara is a great way to express it. Zuze Ansuhu. The money forced him. But in other words, this is a type of compulsion. It's interesting. Usually when we talk about compulsion, duress, it means that was beyond my control. Right? Over here, it's hard to fit it into the words of the Gemara, but this is exactly what the Gemara means. It means, what'd you expect me to do? Look, I know I committed to sell to him for X, but this is now X plus 20. That's more. So Azuzan Su Vehuchasukarab Yaakov Minahar Pakot. And the Gemara says this is in fact the halacha. The halacha is like Rav Yaakov Minahar Pakot, that the even though he committed to sell to his best friend, but if this other guy comes and offers more money, so he can now turn around and sell to the other guy.
As long as the price is not set.
Huh?
As long as the price
If the price is set.
That makes you wonder whether or not you could ever have a real contract with somebody, because somebody could always outbid you. But in this case,
But mind you, the important part of this discussion, and this is why you have to just, you know, you have to be careful from with this Gemara, is that he didn't sell it to the first guy. He only committed to sell it to the first guy. So I don't know.
How do you do that? Verbal?
With a handshake.
Like
a handshake or sudar or a handkerchief.
What's the difference between that and a kinyan?
Because you're not selling it right now. You're telling him, I'm not selling it right now.
In terms of act, is that the intention? Or is it the act that since the...
Sudar is just a symbolic way of saying that you and I are agreeing. It's a handshake. It is what is a handshake? In other words, we make a deal and we shake hands. The deal, right, the handshake is I'm committing myself to doing the deal. But the handshake is not the actual kinyan itself. Right? He was very clear. I'm not selling it now. But if and when I do, you're my guy. And in the second case, here's the price. Yeah, David.
Because it wasn't really if you would do this, if he had an option, and an option has to be separately bargained, an option has to, in its own way, has to be purchased.
Right. So, right here,
he had purchased an option.
Right. Correct. It was a commitment to if and when I do, you're going to be the guy, and then right. So, it is to a certain degree, it's binding. But Rav Yaakov Minar Apakot says, but if somebody comes along and makes you a better offer and offers you more money, you then don't have to keep your commitment to the first guy.
The first one keeps the first right of refusal or no?
Interesting. Right? Can he match? Yeah, right? Can he match the second guy? So I saw my notes that's...
No.
Huh?
He says no.
I saw my notes. They're subject to a debate amongst the Rishonim. Right.
But good question. It says here he still did a valid kinyan after the price was
kinyan, but the kinyan was not the sale. The kinyan wasn't a commitment to sell to him.
But it says they consummated the deal.
Correct.
That's still not a valid deal.
Correct. Correct. It's a subtlety. It's an unbelievable subtlety.
So what is it for? What is that coming? What's
the commitment is? Look.
Is that going to honor?
You know. You now know that when that right now I'm not ready, but when I'm ready, you're my guy.
No, but he's not the guy because somebody else is going to come and get it.
Only if he can give a higher price. Only if the second guy gives a higher price. If the second guy is only matching the first guy is legally entitled to it. Okay? Amalei kidishayma betlasa, afilu treme go tlasa. Okay. Again, we're so far off now. We're in Baba Basra land.
I know.
And we'll come back to Avodah Zarah. Just, you know, a couple more minutes in a Baba Basra land. All right, I'm going to sell you the property, but obviously we need an appraisal. And you and I say like this, Kiddushayme betlasa. Let's get three people in on it, right? Three people to appraise a piece of property. I feel a trade me go tlasa. When I say Kiddushayme betlasa, I mean basically Beis Din. Meaning, I want these three people to act like a Beis Din. Now, you know what the rule is by Beis Din, majority rules in Beis Din. So if two of the three people come to an agreement of what the price is, that's binding. Because when I say Kiddushayme betlasa, I mean I want three people to act as a Beis Din and majority rules. So two out of three. Kidamre betlasa. If, however, you and I say Kidamre betlasa, not Kiddushayme, but Kidamre, it is so, it's a nuance, it's such a subtle difference. Right? Like three people say, not like three people appraise, Adamre betlasa. Now I need an agreement of all three people, because I'm not treating them like a Beis Din. Mm-hmm. I'm treating them like three people. If three appraisers can agree, right? I'm not in real estate, but do three appraisers ever agree?
No.
Okay, no. Okay, good. Settled. So, so kiddushayme ba'arba ad amre ad amre ba'arba. The kol shekhen dehecha ad amre like kiddushayme ba'arba. If, however, I say four people, there is no nuance. Even if I say Kiddushayme barba, four people is not a Beis Din. First of all, it's an even number. Second of all, when I say Beis Din, especially when it comes to monetary law, three, not four. So when I ask for four appraisers, I need, in order for the sale to be binding, I need an agreement of all four. Amalei Kiddushayme betlasa v'atzu tlasa v'shamua, v'amalei idach leisu tlasa achrina dekimlu tfei. What if we, buyer and seller, say, okay, look, three people, we'll treat them like a Beis Din, and they come and they agree to an appraised value of the property. And then the other party says, no. I'm getting my own set of appraisers. I'm Rapapa Dinahu Dema'akev. So Rapapa says, yeah, the other party can do that. Maskev Lord Huna Bereder of Yoshua Mimai. The Gemara records and rules like Rav Huna Bereder of Yoshua, you can't do that. Once you have three appraisers who agree to an appraised value of a property, the other party cannot say, no, I'm getting my own set of appraisers. Because there is no absolute science in terms of how much its appraised value is. Once you have, it's not even one appraiser, once you have a group of three and they establish an appraised value of the property, that is for this sale, the appraised value of the property. Period. End of the digression. Back to our Yayin Esach. Natos Amashbech Umadal Atoch Suchiso Shal Ovikocham V'chaz Umadal Atoch Suchiso Shal Yisrael Im Yesh Bo HaKeves Yayin Aser. Okay, case number one in the Mishnah. Once again, we're talking about now pouring wine for various buyers. And here you have a guy coming in. So again, we have to get over the hump of making sure that you sell before it becomes Yayin Esach. Good. And how do you do that? By agreeing to the price, by taking money first, by doing the Mashiach first, etc., etc. Good. The Mishnah over here is going to deal with another issue, and that is a much more tangible issue of making sure that there's no Yayin Esach on your equipment. Okay? Our Mishnah over here discusses a funnel. Hamashpech, the pourer. Right, the Mishnah over here is discussing a funnel, and basically when you pour wine, you pour it through your funnel. So the Mishnah says, look, So first you pour it for a non-Jew. So you're using your funnel, okay? My straw is not the best funnel, but I'm just, you know, showing. And you pour your wine through the into the flask of a non-Jew. And then you take your very own funnel and you move it over to the flask of a Jew. So, problem or not a problem? The Mishnah says, "Im yesh bo akeves yayin, osur." If the funnel has some sort of akeves yayin, some sort of lip or rim on the bottom, so it was holding wine back, so then it's going to be osur. The wine is going to be usur. Okay, stay tuned, wait for the Gemara. The Gemara will give us a better understanding of what the issues are. Second case in the Mishnah, Amari mikli al kli. If you're pouring from one kli to another kli, es shi'ira mimenu mutter. The kli you're pouring from is mutter. The et shi'ira l'socha, so the kli you're pouring to is going to be forbidden. Once again, I ask you, stay tuned and wait as we understand better what's going on over there in the second case of the mission. Tanan Hassam. Okay, so here's what we're going to do now. Again, it's kind of like the previous sugya. We're going to discuss a broader issue, and we're going to use our Mishnah as part of the broader issue discussion. This is not the first time we're having this discussion in Masechta Avodah Zarah. It's the second time that we're discussing it, but here the Gemara is going to be discussing it in detail. Nitzok, flowing water. Okay, when water flows from an up, from a source on top to a source below, and gravity pulls the flow down. Now here when we talk about flow, it does not have to be a vertical drop. As we're going to see in just a moment, it could also be a slope as well. Okay, but it's got to be a flow. So if there's a flow, does that automatically mean connection between here and here? Okay, major debate. So first we're going to do is we're going to turn to a Mishnah. Mishnah Taharos. Hanitzok, v'hakatapras, umashke tofeach, eina chibor. Lo l'tumah v'lo l'tahara. Ha'ashboren chibor, l'tumah u'l'tahara. You know, the Mishnah Taharos really couldn't say it any clearer. I'll be honest with you, it's so funny. We're going to have like this big discussion. And the Mishnah Taharos is like as clear as day. The Mishnah says that when you have a flow, Nitzok, the first expression in the Mishnah when it says Nitzok, is that it is vertical, right? Rashi describes melamat lamata bizikifa, right? It just goes straight down. Kemarzev shalgagin, like our sewers, straight down. So kapatras, Rashi, the next Rashi in the on this Mishnah, Taharos, mayimabay melamat lamata derech madron, shatel gavoa zakuf. It's going on a slope down the mountain. Okay? Either way, straight down or on a diagonal. Or the third case in the Mishnah Taharos is Mashke Tofeach. It's wet, but not really wet. Okay? How do we quantify wet versus really wet? Because those don't sound like quantifiable levels. So, right? So Rashi gives us the classic definition. Ein bo tofeach amanas lahatpiach. In order for something to be really wet, when I touch it, there has to be that I take my finger off and my finger is wet. If it's just slightly moist, but not really wet, it means I touch it, I feel, I sense the moisture, but when I take my finger and I look at my finger, I don't see any moisture there. I understand that there is going to be some moisture on your finger, but it has to be, you know, you really have to see it. There has to be something visible over there. Okay? In all three of these cases, it is not a chibur, neither for tumah nor for tahara. Now, tumah is easy to understand. Tumah means that when I pour from here and it goes down over here, so that means that that if what is if this area is tameh, everything up here is going to be tameh as well. What does it mean tahara? It's going to be a chibur for tahara as well. Mikvah. Rashi gives the example where. Let's say I have a bottom pool over here, doesn't have 40 saw, incomplete. Right? In order for a mikvah to be a good mikvah, you have to have 40 saw of water. This does not have 40 saw of water. And then what I do is I pour from over here, and this plus this equals 40 saw. Can I look at them as one combined entity? So if flow was a connection, then the answer would be yes. But the Mishnah and Taharas tells us in no uncertain terms, it's not a connection.
But the flow has to be continuous.
Even if the flow is continuous. Right, correct. In other words, this whole discussion is where there's a continuous flow. Absolutely correct. So let's go back. Ashbaran is where it's not a flow, but it is connected through a body of water. Okay. Anyway, So when we're talking about flow not being a connection, as I mentioned just a moment ago, it's funny. Where's the discussion? The Mishnah and Tahara says it's not a connection. So flow does not connect. Ravuna says, again, let's make a distinction. You're right. In the world of Tumah, in the world of Tahara, it's not a connection. In the world of Yai Nesach, it is a connection. Okay? Amle Rav Nachman la Ravuna Menalacha. Where did that come from? Where did you get that? That even though in general flow is not considered a chibur, but in the world of Yai Nesach it is considered a chibur. Ilema Midnan. What do you want to tell me? The Mishnah Taharos? Hanitzak v'kapachos u'mashka tofech in chibur lo l'tum v'lo tahara l'tum lo tahara hu d'lo havi chibur haling in Yai Nesach havi chibur. You want to make a diuk in the Mishnah and Taharos? Well, the Mishnah only singles out Tum and Tahara. But the Mishnah doesn't talk about Yai Nesach. Must be that it's a connection for Yai Nesach. It's a strange diuk. It is. And L'tum L'Tahara D'lo HaVechibur HaLin Yai Nesach HaVechibur Eim HaSeifa. The Gemara says, go to the next part of the Mishnah. HaAshbaran Chibur L'tum L'Tahara. Well, Ashbaran, a stable body of water, is a connection. So the Gemara says, now, what do you want to do? You want to now make the same diuk? You want to tell me that the Mishnah is precluding Yai Nesach, which is just so untenable. In other words, if it's a connector for Tumah Tahara, it certainly will be a connector for Yai Nesach. It's such an untenable diuk in the Mishnah. So good. So there's nothing to gain from that Mishnah and Taharas. So again, how do you suggest that there's this difference in Chibur when it comes to Tumah Tahara versus when it comes to Yai Nesach? Maybe it's our Mishnah. And again now, we're introducing our Mishnah to discuss this broader issue. Natos HaMashbech Madal Toch Suchoso Shal V'Kochavim V'Chazur Madal Toch Suchoso Shal Yisrael Im Yesh Bo HaKeves Yayin Aser HaKeves, I'm sorry, Im Yesh Bo HaKeves Yayin Aser. Our Mishnah, the funnel. Funnel is placed in, wine is poured through the funnel, it now goes into the funnel, into their flask. Now, once the wine hits their flask, it's Yai Nesach. And now what the Gemara is making a suggestion is that how did your funnel become also a vessel of Yai Nesach? Because of the flowback. HaKevis Yayin B'Maka Mitzra Lav B'Nitzok Shmamina Nitzok Chibor. So the Gemara is suggesting it's all because of the flow. Tani Rabbi Chia. So Rabbi Chia says, no, it's not flow. Shepachasti Tzluchiso. It's not about flow, it's about backup. Right? In other words, when you poured it through the funnel, there was wine being poured into the vessel, the wine backed up and backed up into the funnel. So the Gemara says, okay, if you're right, and this is a Brisa Rabbi Chia, that's because of the backup. So if you're right, so now we can conclude that Nitzok is not a Chibor. Lo. The Gemara says, not necessary. Look, we're not going to say what Nitzok is or isn't. All we're saying is that we know for sure that if there's a backup, so then your funnel now has Yai Nesach in it. Tashma. Again, the Gemara says, let's try to resolve this question from the next case in our Mishnah. The Mishnah describes pouring from one vessel into another vessel. The Mishnah says that the original vessel, the vessel you're pouring from, is not affected. Shma, but the stuff in the middle, the stuff that's flowing in the stream, the Gemara now is being medayik, that stuff is aser. Shma minan itzochibor. The Gemara says, wait a second. Initzochibor, I feel the gave mana. Namilitzor. Right, what everyone I'm sure is thinking right now. If the flow goes and the flow makes a connection, the flow should make a connection all the way to the vessel that you're pouring from. Halokasha dekam miktaf kitufe. The Gemara says it wasn't a continuous stream. Meaning when you poured, so you poured, you unpoured, such a terrible way to describe it, and you unpoured it, so therefore it's only the flow. And so therefore the flow becomes prohibited, but not the original, because it was cut off. So the Gemara says, okay, but look, I'm happy you stopped the stream in the middle. But you see, though, that had you not stopped the stream in the middle, it would have been a connection. The Gemara says, okay, but again, read on in the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, the cup that you're pouring into, that's going to be prohibited. The wine there is going to be prohibited, which means that the flow is not prohibited. Ela mehaileka lemishnah lemashma mina. So again, the Gemara says, there's no diuk that you can make even from the second case of the Mishnah. Good. All right. Today, so far, we have covered. We finished up our discussion about the broad discussion about Mashicha by a non-Jew. Conclusion, Mashicha is kona by a non-Jew. Okay? Good. We then segued and tangented into the discussion of making a commitment to somebody on the sale of a property. There is something to be said about making a commitment. However, if you didn't agree to a price, it's nothing. If you agreed to the price, but somebody comes along with a second offer, with a better offer, you can go with the better offer. And we talked about appraisals. Then we moved on to the discussion of whether a flow is a connection. And right now we're in the middle of the discussion of whether or not a flow is a connection. And as we can see, it's going to turn into a major debate. Stop over here, pick it up tomorrow.